text to win contest is like exploding. It's so popular, I almost want to quit so I can be part of it. Sage, if you're listening, that wasn't true. But it's really cool. We got great prizes. There is one winner per hour and one daily winner. And then there are grand prize winners. And the grand prize, those are the best. I mean, all the prizes are great, but they're all getaways. Summer Wisconsin getaways that you can't beat. Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake, including pontoon boat for you thrill seekers. Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores. Lake Geneva is a great place in the summer. And a Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. So you can't win if you don't play. So get those. I'm about to read today's keyword. And get it in, text it in. And then when you receive your confirmation text, folks, click on that because there are other possibilities to win if you click on the text that you get, the confirmation text. So I know everyone is like, the people that are into this contest are so into it. They know all the rules already. And they're probably like, just stop talking and give us the Scani keyword. So maybe I'm kind of being a jerk by yakking away here. But the Scani keyword for today, folks, is park. P-A-R-K. Park. Conrad, confirm?
Confirmed.
All right. So text that in, and good luck, everybody. It's a great contest. You guys have been great about being a part of it, and I hope all of you who have been, like, really loyal contestants, so to speak, have won something. So please, get your texts in, and respond when we send back the confirmation text, because there are more ways to win. There are more chances to win, and you... trust me, you want to try that. These are such cool prizes. Where do you stay? Conrad, are you still with the pontoon thing?
Yes.
Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake?
It's nice to just go through the water with the wind in my hair.
And the bugs on your teeth.
Exactly. You can't beat it.
No, you can't. That is great. That's a great point. In fact, if it was a houseboat, man, I would be so there. I've been on a houseboat once. I've never, like, stayed over on a houseboat. I think... it would be really cool to live at sea, so to speak, on a small inlet lake in Wisconsin. This sounds kind of silly because I live so close to Door County, but I would still say that's my favorite. And we could just rent a pontoon boat for the day. But anyway, get those texts in, folks, and good luck. And tonight's question. Mike Siegel is here at 8:35, like I mentioned. We're going to talk about 80s movies. Mike and I grew up during the same time. We're roughly the same age. And we're going to talk about our top five 80s movies. So our question tonight is, what is your favorite 80s movie? It could be comedy, but Mike assumed I meant comedy when I first mentioned this to him. But it doesn't have to be comedy. As a teaser, I'll just say one of my top five films is Mississippi Burning. That is certainly not a comedy. So it could be any of the great 80s comedies, you know, Fast Times, Caddyshack, Fletch, whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be a comedy. There are some great movies made in the 80s. Two of the Star Wars. Is that right, Conrad? Two of them were in the 80s. All the Indiana Jones movies, I think.
Wasn't one of the Star Wars in the 70s, actually?
The first one was.
Yeah, the first one. And then, yeah, okay. Yeah, five and six were in the 80s.
Still messes me up when you say five or six, but you're right. Yeah, it's five or six. Return of the Jedi and The Empire Strikes Back were both 80s movies. So take your pick. Favorite 80s movies, folks. Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I probably should have read that. That is the number you text in with the keyword, too. And just a reminder that tonight's keyword is park. So get those texts in and you'll be off to the races. Some big releases today. Predator, an 80s movie, and Raiders of the Lost Ark were both released on this day. Predator in 1987 and Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981. And at the time, Predator was like state-of-the-art cool graphics, like that alien creature. When I saw that, I was like, this is awesome. And it's to this day, maybe my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger role. Because, yeah, he was that testosterone-y, steroid tough guy. Those guys exploded on the 80s scene. Stallone, all these guys. And I like the more regular heroes, you know, be they men or women that are just kind of regular people that step up. I find that more interesting. But this was a phase. And it really hasn't gone away. Vin Diesel, The Rock, all these guys. They have fake names, though. His name is not really Vin Diesel. It's like Larry Jones or something like
that. You ruined it for me.
Gotta play Diesel. Just to let you know he's a tough guy. If you can't tell that by looking at his bald head and his huge pecs, he's got to give himself a name that indicates manliness. Like The Rock, too. We can tell, guys. Just use your regular name.
Wait, his name's actually not dudes. The Rock?
It's not. Let's Google that. Take a memo and Google, because he has kind of a... I don't think it's Dwayne Johnson either. I did look into this recently. Anyhow, Predator was a really fun movie from the 80s. My list is not laminated for when Mike and I talk later. I could add this to that. But it was a fun film. Great theater movie. I remember being pretty freaked out. As I was, Raiders of the Lost Ark was a great film too. That's when I became a huge Harrison Ford fan. Like, I liked him in Star Wars, but he became a bona fide movie star when he headed up an entirely different franchise. That's incredible. Actors that have more than one franchise to their name, that it's rare enough to make your living acting, but that's incredible. To be the lead actor of one franchise and then another. Unbelievable. And Harrison Ford's got like three or four. He's Jack Ryan. So those films were both released on today. And you know what? I thought about clipping something from Predator, Conrad, but it wouldn't, like, the graphics are what you need to see.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, there's a lot going on, though. Angry Birds 3 is on the horizon. Now, if I didn't see the first two, am I going to be lost? Angry?
I haven't seen the first two either. But, you know, I'm excited for Angry Birds 3.
Shame on us. I saw this too on Facebook. This kind of cracked me up. A friend of mine posted this. It was like one of those memories. Like 10 years ago, they were in front of the Friends building in New York, Monica's apartment and Joey and Chandler's apartment. Mm-hmm. And they took a picture of themselves in front of that building. And it's kind of cool. It's like a cool looking building, but nothing was filmed there except the facade. Yeah. It's B-roll. Here's me in front of a New York City apartment building, everybody. But those characters didn't really live there. They didn't even really shoot the show there. It was on a Hollywood soundstage. I don't know. That just struck me as kind of funny. And I'd probably do the same thing. I'm not, like, denigrating anybody for doing that. It's sort of like you're just taking a picture in front of a random building. But some camera guy went on a map and said, oh, let's do that one. And then there are rumblings. Or rumors, should I say. I don't know if they're official rumblings. Actually, they're rumblings. Those are like germs. They're not official rumors yet. They're rumblings. Josh Gad, you told me about this, Conrad. What's he doing?
Yeah, I read the article and it was like, it could be Spaceballs 2.
Right.
But there's not enough information on it. But it looks like it is.
He teased something basically that made no sense. It was sort of cryptic. And it's like, okay, you're making a movie. Good.
Yeah.
We assumed you were. But Spaceballs remake, I don't know. Josh Gad's funny. I like Josh Gad. But like Mel Brooks, you're not. It's like when Jamie Kennedy played the Jim Carrey role in The Mask 2. No, you just don't do that. And I don't know if Josh Gad, if he is in fact trying to follow Mel Brooks in Spaceballs. And then you got John Candy, who was hilarious. That's risky when you remake kind of a classic, you know? And that wasn't even one of my favorite Mel Brooks movies. Still risky, but whatever. You introduce it to a whole new generation, I suppose. Josh Gad, I can't say his name. Josh Gad has that kind of street cred. And Steven Spielberg, often credited as the father of the modern summer blockbuster movie because he made Jaws in 1975. Is working on a new UFO film. He did Close Encounters of the Third Kind years ago. That was his first one. E.T. He's obsessed with aliens. And you know what? I still can't wait to see it. I love a good UFO movie. Okay. Chris Foran is here at 7:35. We'll be talking movies and whatever Chris wants to talk about. That'll be fun. You will not want to miss Chris's insights. And there's a new film. It's Pixar-esque. It's called Spermageddon. You heard that right, folks. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabo on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So we're back. And off to a good start. Look at these contest entries. We're crushing it, man. I hope you guys all win something. I think that would be so cool. If Nightlight listeners won. And if you did win, tell us. We want to celebrate you. Great. Oh, a lot of text rolling in. That's great. Our question tonight, what is your favorite 80s movie? It can be a summer blockbuster. It can just be any movie shot in the 80s. That's what we're talking about tonight. Stacey Sue checks in on the stream. Hi, Pete and Con. We liked Connie.
You know, I'm all right with it. I don't love it.
You don't love it. Okay.
Let's go with the usual Con.
Check out Sean Penn. I want to say it was a movie he did with Michael Douglas where he calls him Connie. They play brothers. And sometimes that just fits a dude. It's like a boy named Sue. Mike Desitel checking in. Favorite 80s movie, Dead Poets Society. You know what? That is a great one. That is one of my favorite movies of all time, really. Not just 80s. But I think it's Ethan Hawke. Stands up on the desk and says, Captain, my captain, at the end, as Robin Williams, and it's been forever since I've seen it. I think Robin Williams gets fired, and as a show of support, he stands up on his desk and quotes, I believe it's Walt Whitman, who, is that Break, Break, Break? I was an English major, I should know this, but it's just a beautiful moment in movies. Great one, Mike. Dead Poets Society is on the list. Conrad, have you seen that?
I have, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once.
Well, I've seen it probably twice only, but it's one of those movies. Sometimes you have favorite movies and you can watch them repeatedly.
Yeah.
And others, it's like, that really touched me. I don't want to go through those emotions every time I see the film, though, you know? Yeah. But it's a great movie. Robert from McFarland checking in. Ghostbusters is my favorite 80s movie. I used to know the whole thing line for line. Isn't it a shame how we age, Robert? I'm with you. I knew there's so many great movies too. Bill Murray, his delivery is so great throughout that film. Like he's just always the side of his mouth saying stuff and like, so he has such phenomenal lines, but Harold Ramis is very funny in that movie too. When they turn on that power pack in the elevator and he just kind of casually moves out of the way because it's a And what was the line, Conrad, you saw Ghostbusters, when they're, he's like, don't worry. And Bill Murray says, why worry? Each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear thermodynamic pack on our back. That's a great one. Love Ghostbusters. So Swingers was released today in 1997. It is not an 80s movie, but we can still celebrate it. I think we have a clip. What do we have? Let's do the, what do we have? 6 days?
And we have the answering machine.
Let's do the answering machine. This is a clip from Swingers and Mike's answering machine.
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
Hi, Nikki. This is Mike. I met you at the Dresden tonight. I just called to say that I had a great time, and you should call me tomorrow or in two days, whatever. Anyway, my number is 213-555-4679.
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
Hi, Nikki. This is Mike again. I just called because it sounded like your machine might have cut me off before I finished leaving my number. Anyway, sorry to call so late, but you were still at the Dresden when I left, so I knew I'd get your machine. Anyhow, my number is 21.
Message.
213-555-4679. That's it. Just want to leave my number. I didn't want to think I was weird or desperate. We should just hang out and see where it goes, because it's nice and you know, no expectations. So, okay? Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. I just got out of a 6-year relationship, okay? That should help explain why I'm acting so weird. I just wanted you to know that it's not you, it's me. I'm sorry. This is Mike.
So great. And then he calls back again and she picks up and says, don't ever call me again. So great. Robert checks in again from McFarland, says John Favreau is a Hollywood success story. He certainly is. And John Favreau, I'm in awe of him because he made this great little film called Swingers that put him on the map. He didn't even direct it. He wrote it and he starred in it. And, you know, you think, okay, fine. He has some success. He'll stick with that genre or comedy or whatever. But the guy directed Elf and I think a couple Marvel films. Like, I think people just love him because in Hollywood, you have to be good in the room. You have to be good at meetings. And I don't know what qualified John Favreau, after making Swingers, which was a hit, to be called into meetings to direct much bigger films. He didn't even direct Swingers. I mean, people just must love that guy. He is likable, too. He's very likable as an actor. He's a great everyman. Even like in Rudy, or he's funny on Friends when he plays Monica's boyfriend.
He was really good on that.
Great on that. So, but again, even though he's a great actor, to be able to direct a Marvel film or Elf, that's just unbelievable. He is definitely a Hollywood success story. Well said, Robert. Robert says it's so cringe. He keeps calling back. Yeah, it's hard to watch, but it's hilarious. Anna from the 608 checks in and says, my favorite 80s movie is Scarface. And then she says, love the show. Well, thanks, Anna. Thanks for listening and thanks for being part of it. Yeah, Scarface is, that's up there too. I don't even think of that as an 80s movie. I always think of that as like in the 70s, but you're right. It's an 80s film. And Al Pacino, I've said before on the show, is hit or miss with me as a fan. Some stuff I love him in and some stuff I'm just like, I'm not buying that. I don't like his choices, you know. And he certainly doesn't need my approval, but as a fan, I'm just saying that. And I loved him in Scarface. Loved him in Carlito's Way, obviously, as Michael Corleone. He's great, but Scarface is a good one. Thanks, Anna. Conrad, have you heard about the new movie? It's a it's sort of a Pixar animated film for adults. It's called Spermageddon. Can I say sperm on this show? I mean, I could be talking about a sperm whale. I'm not going to say.
We talked about this a little bit before, and I find it hilarious. It's like the, what is it, the sausage party kind of thing.
Sausage party?
That's what it's called, right? With
sausage party. I never saw that. Was it funny or was it, like, really stupid?
All right. I will say I watched it when I was 17 or 18, so I thought it was hilarious. I rewatched it now, and I'm like, okay, that's just kind of terrible humor.
Well, Spermageddon is about two teenagers trying to have sex, and it's awkward. There's a clip available on Variety.com, and you can check it out. It's not, like, dirty. Or it looks kind of sweet, but there's a character called Simon the Sperm. And he takes his job very seriously, as a young sperm would, trying to make his mark in the world. All right. I'm sorry, Chris Foran, that this is the conversation that leads into your appearance. But Chris Foran is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Staff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin DNR issued an air quality advisory for five lakeside counties on Wednesday. Milwaukee, Kenosha, Ozaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan counties are under a moderate advisory for sensitive groups from noon until 11 p.m. That means people sensitive to air pollution, like children, the elderly, and those with lung diseases, should avoid prolonged and heavy activity outside. The economy is the number one issue for American voters. Political scientist Susan Webiaki says housing could be the, quote, sleeper issue of the election.
I can't afford the American dream, right? And you're trying to sell that to young folks in America and sell your vision of tomorrow, and you can't afford the American dream.
Political scientist Barry Burden says most swing voters this year are young adults. The two spoke at a WISC Politics luncheon on Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Staff, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're a John Grisham fan, you might have something binge-watchable right around the corner. USA Network announced it will turn Grisham's 1995 novel, The Rainmaker, into a series. The book was also made into a movie of the same name in 1997. The film was directed by Francis Ford Coppola and starred Matt Damon. Variety reports that the TV series will continue with similar themes of David versus Goliath legal situations. Can you imagine sleeping through a fire? Henry Winkler almost did. The Fonz was staying at a hotel in Dublin when the fire alarm went off, and it was not a false alarm. Winkler initially thought it was the clock radio alarm he was hearing that had been set by the room's previous guest. He tried to go back to sleep and finally woke when six fire engines showed up from the Dublin Brigade to put out an electrical fire. Winkler praised the fire department's quick response and took a selfie with them. Ironically, he slept through his actual alarm the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Just a reminder, tonight's Sconny Summer, Civic Media Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. Keyword is, Conrad, if you please.
It is trip. Or, wait, it's park.
Nice.
Sorry.
Are you trying to get us sued?
No, it's park.
Park. There you go.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, folks. Do not text in the word trip. Conrad just got, he just got a little distracted. Oh, man. All right. So text in. The keyword is park. So you have time. Get it in before the end of the hour. Text it. And then, again, respond to the confirmation text you get. Give yourself a chance to win even more. And thank you for playing our Civic Media Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. It is a smash. I don't know if Chris Foran is eligible to be part of the contest, but I don't see why he wouldn't be, but don't hold me to that, and do not take legal advice from Conrad. My next guest is a veteran here of Nightlight. He's been with us before several times, and it's great to have him back on the show from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay. We're getting into what we call the rainy season.
Now, why is that? What's that about?
Because it's Polish Fest or Lakefront Festival of Art, which almost always has rain, but it's because it gets busy right about now. We have 3 weekends of Summerfest, and then blissfully a week off, and then we'll have the Republican National Convention, and then that Harley Festival comes right after that.
Oh, yeah. So. You know, I got to say, I thought this was funny when I looked at your articles today, just to kind of catch up with what you've been writing about. I saw your advice for Father's Day, and it said Polish Fest. And when I first saw it, I thought it said Polish Fest. And I was like, what? Like, why? What is that? Like a bunch of dads sitting around
using
pledge.
Sooner or later, we
pledge.
Will have Polish Fest. I suppose it's classic car involved. But,
Oh, there you go. I immediately went to furniture polish, which,
yeah, whatever.
You know, Whatever kind of polish you like, but it is Polish Fest, and it's happening this weekend on Father's Day, and that sounds like as good of a suggestion as any, so I will look into that. Are you, what else do we need to know that's happening in the fair city of Milwaukee?
Well, this gets to be a busy time. One of my colleagues, Piet Levy, who writes about music, and he's kind of our commander on our Summerfest coverage. He and I have been talking the last couple of weeks about how Summerfest used to be something that used to be the rising tide that swamped all boats in Milwaukee. Bars would close, no concerts would be scheduled opposite it because it was such a big thing.
Yeah.
When they switched to a 3 weekend format versus, you probably remember, they used to be 11 days in a row. We only get so many weekends in Milwaukee in the summer. So, you know,
right.
You start, people have to schedule stuff anyway. We have on the Saturday of the first weekend of Summerfest, in addition to Summerfest, which will have its biggest headliner that night is a really big singer named SZA.
Yeah.
That same night, an up and coming country singer named Kenny Chesney is playing at American Family Field.
Oh,
so
wow.
First time ever a stadium concert opposite Summerfest. And there's a festival called Tacos and Tequilas that is out at the other stadium in Franklin, the minor league stadium, with T.I., I think, and a couple of big 90s hip-hop lineup. Pretty big deal. And Dave Matthews Band is at Alpine Valley that night.
Jeez.
There's lots of other stuff going on as well. The Cedarburg has a strawberry festival that routinely draws 8 million people up to Ozaukee County. And
So why do you think that is?
We have a couple of weekends like that coming up this summer. It makes some of us wonder, where do people have all this free time? But apparently they do. So,
why why is that just because it's not just 11 days anymore and people can't, it's like,
I think it's a couple of things. I think first of all, there is more going on than Summerfest. And I think Summerfest isn't the invincible thing that it used to be. It's still a really big deal.
Yeah.
It's not as invincible as it used to be. But like I said, that they, when it was over 11 days and one of those was the 4th of July, which is normally when it plays, people could work around that. But now there's no, you know, there's 3 weekends. But when this is over, you know, then it's suddenly mid-July.
Right.
You know, and we got 6 weeks and then we're done. So I think that's part of it. Plus, you know, it used to be a lot, it used to feel a lot cheaper than it is. It's probably about the same giving inflation, but people find other things to do, you know? The weekend I'm curious about is at the end of July, when the same weekend they have that big, another one of those big Harley festivals here is the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, which routinely attracts about 500,000 people to the lakefront. And they're right next door to each other. I mean, literally on the lakefront. I don't know how, you know, it's going to be amazing, but we love stuff, especially if it's free. We love it when it's free. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you enjoy Summerfest, Chris? Like, do you go casually or is it too much for you to write about it and actually enjoy it as a pedestrian?
I actually hardly ever go anymore, partly because I'm old. although they do target my demographic. There's about a dozen acts that I had endless free time I would go see, but I work 7 of the 9 nights, so usually, so it's kind of an academic thing. I restarted my early in my professional, quote unquote, professional journalism career. My first writing was about music, and my first review at Summerfest was of The Fifth Dimension in 1981.
Oh wow!
And it was so long in their career that they were down to 2 of the originals. So, a joke that I have only had to tell 7,000 times. They were literally 2-dimensional.
But they don't have all their dimensions. That's very funny. Yeah, they have a lot of older artists, the Goo Goo Dolls, REO Speedwagon. Keith Urban's been around a long time. One I saw on there was the Little River Band, which if you're nostalgic for 70s kind of, you know, soft rock or yacht rock, as they call it now, they're a great band.
That their strategy, as Piet Levy's written many times, their strategy since pretty much the beginning has been something for everyone. And, you know, you'd have to not like music that was made in the last 60 years to find not find something you'd like. And one thing they claim they've been able to do with this 3-weekend strategy is book some bigger acts earlier in the day. So there are acts, you know, that are Blue Plate special people friendly, you know, like myself, that are playing at 4 o'clock. You know, they're good bands. And, you know, one that stands out is like the Baseball Project, which has got some members of REM in it. And they write these really creative songs about baseball. They're really a great band.
Oh, fun.
Steve Wynn, other people. And but they're playing at 4 o'clock on the night that the day they're playing. So you can go there and still, you know, get to Country Buffet in time. But,
right. That's great. I saw that on there. I was like, what the heck is that? They also have.
So they're worth checking out. They're a good band. They're worth checking out. They've had 80s, you know, 80s bands in those early slots. Goo Goo Dolls. You mentioned the Goo Goo Dolls. They're sold out. They're playing the BMO. I think they're playing the BMO Pavilion. The seating part of the BMO Pavilion is sold out already.
No kidding.
If you get there, you can stand in the back.
But for the Goo Goo Dolls. Seats are sold out. Wow.
Pardon?
For the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, well, Milwaukee is a Goo Goo Dolls town.
Why is that? I don't know. Just joking? Know. Or
we have bands that we love.
Yeah.
We're big on Bon Jovi. We're big on Goo Goo Dolls. We're big on Boston. We're big on.
Oh, man.
In my time, Supertramp was a big band here.
Love Supertramp. Love Boston. I'm kind of done. Bon Jovi doesn't hold up to me as much.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to like draw you into a conversation. I'm just giving you my opinion. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. But the other ones, I thought the Wallflowers are great. A great 90s band.
Yeah.
Will be there. Jeffrey Osborne, you know. That'd be a
heck of a singer, you know, and they do. I mean, they, like I said, you can find, you know, Piet every year does his picks of things you should see, and he picks one thing every day, and he one big headliner, one act you should discover, and then one local band every day. That's going online tomorrow on jsonline.com.
Oh, cool! And, he's a great writer.
He you know, the discoveries are, I mean, I know most of them, but I don't know all of them. And as he points out, there's some bands that, you know, Summerfest has had trouble getting out of the white, you know, boomer friendly demo, male demo lot, but they, like, they have one, SZA is their only female headliner this year, on the big stage, but they have several Latino acts that they never had those. And one of the first acts they booked, Ivan Cornejo, is playing the BMO Pavilion. He sold out in seconds. And,
no kidding.
They have their first K-pop act in forever, and which is really interesting. And not, you know, BTS, but, you know, they've got some other stuff in there.
Yeah.
And you can find 70s bands in there. You can find 80s bands in there. You know, I mean, if you like, you know, and there's some edgier stuff. There's even some, you know, EDM DJs in there. The Allison, or a woman named Allison Wonderland,
yeah,
who was there a couple of years ago, is back. She's really, really good. And
I saw her name.
And she's back on a ground stage again. So
you've also got Amy Grant, Living Color. Yep. That's a great show. The Gin Blossoms.
That's a great show.
Yeah. And of course, the Bodines will be there on the 6th. I'm a big Bodines fan. I remember seeing them there over and over. I saw them in Chicago and kind of all over. Do they still have a comedy tent, Chris? I used to do that when I was. Okay.
No. They. Yeah, the days when comedy was a thing there are over. A couple of years ago, they got Dave Chappelle as an amphitheater headliner, but they, you know, it's too bad. They haven't really found a way to pull that off. And I mean, I remember back when they would have, you know, like local music, and then then some old, like, Louie Nye as the stand-up comic on the stage. And
yeah,
it was kind of it didn't always fit so well, but it was great when they would get like Louis Black or,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. I think if they had, it was like somebody else, you know, somebody big like Dave Chappelle, I think they would probably go for it. It just doesn't really fit with their vibe. It's also really hard to hear.
Yeah, outdoor, it's not perfect for comedy, but I have great memories of.
And I think I remember when they had comedy, it was a tent.
It was, and it was always blistering.
It was hot.
It was horrible. Yeah. I remember one year wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It just didn't feel like you were doing your act properly, and we were always next to another big stage where you could hear music. It was kind of a weird thing. I don't think they ever figured out, but.
And they have, for good or ill, they have trimmed out some of that kind of stuff. And they have a stage they call the American Family Insurance House, mm-hmm. where some of the later day headliners play an acoustic set in the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
Just, you have to register for it. They only have like 100 seats, and there's some big names in there, but I mean, it's not for everyone. It's funny to me that when Summerfest has probably almost as many haters as people who love it. And a couple months from now, we'll have State Fair, and almost everybody loves the State Fair. One of the complaints people always make about Summerfest is there's so much, you know, people are always drinking a lot of beer. Those people haven't been to State Fair early in the day because they have a lot of people drinking beer.
A lot of day drinking. Yeah.
It's Wisconsin.
Is it still the biggest music festival in the world, or does it not count anymore because they broke it up into the separate weekends?
No, I don't know. I think by days, it's still 9 days, still might be the biggest. Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, like some of the big ones, like Coachella, even tried like 3 weekends and it, you know, broke their spirit, I think. And Lollapalooza has tried a couple of weekends and they've cut back.
Yeah.
And, you know, but South by Southwest is like a week. So it's hard to know.
Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is my guest. We're talking Summerfest. We've still got to get to Blockbuster Movies and the show Ripley. A lot more coming up with Chris next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey! You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Conrad, I'm going to let you redeem yourself. One more quick reminder for the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. You can still text in the keyword and be eligible for prizes. One winner every hour, one winner per day, and grand prize getaways at Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake, including a pontoon boat for you thrill seekers. Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores or Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. So today's keyword is, Conrad?
Park. I got it this time.
So get the keyword in. You still got a few minutes to have it in before 8, and thank you for playing. My guest right now is Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is one of the entertainment reporters there, and it's always fun to talk to him about movies and music and all things entertainment. So, Chris, let's pivot to TV and movies. You said you watched Ripley. I did, too. Yeah. I really liked it. Where are you at on Ripley?
I'm not sure, which is, I think, where I'm supposed to be. It was just so beautifully made.
Yeah.
And it makes me, and this almost never happens, it makes me want to go see more. I've seen a number of different versions of the Ripley story. There was one about 25 years ago with Matt Damon and Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow, but there's also been, like, you know, French films called Purple Noon and other things like that. And I just thought it was such an interesting, it was sort of a character study, except it's a character that is kind of in motion. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought they handled the end of it very well.
I'm,
you know,
trying to,
you feel like,
now,
oh, he's getting, you know, it's going to happen this way. And no, it's going to happen another way. So, you know,
it was, I agree with you. It was so, hypnotic, kind of, like, I love the black and white. And I love, I'm blanking Andrew, the lead actor,
Andrew Scott
with his voice somehow matched the picture and the cinematography. Right. It was so great. And he's such an unassuming, like, I thought it took a while to get going and I didn't mind that. Like he's so interesting to watch and the film is, is so beautifully made. I really liked it a lot, but I don't know that everyone would. So I'm hesitant to recommend it to everybody.
I don't think it's for everyone. I mean, it isn't satisfying in the traditional ways. I mean, I think he is such a good actor. I think a lot of people saw him for the first time in, I'm blanking.
I'm trying to find him on IMDb.
He was in the, but last year he was in the movie All of Us Strangers, which was great performance.
Yeah.
And he played a priest in that Amazon series. God, I'm trying to blank. But anyway, if you look back at things, you see Fleabag. That's a series.
Fleabag, right.
Yeah. But he was in, you know, like in the movie 1917, and he's really good in his one little role. And he's just that kind of a performer.
Yeah.
And
his voice too is so,
right.
I don't know. He's just played a great bad guy because his voice is so kind of soothing almost. It was like this dichotomy he was perfectly cast. You also said you watched The Sympathizers. I have not seen that. What can you report on that?
It was interesting. Another one that was just the ambition of it was massive. It's about, based on a bestseller about a Vietnamese the end of the Vietnam War, and there's this Vietnamese double agent who's part of the North Vietnam, you know, underground police, but he infiltrates the South Vietnam thing, and he ends up leaving and going to the United States. And the conceit of it, Robert Downey Jr. plays like 7 characters.
Yeah.
He's not the central character. He's like, you know, the CIA guy, but he's also a professor and he's a film director. And it's a series that really kind of keeps you guessing all the way through in terms of what is anyone's motivation. And it's got a really good cast. And I suspect it'll get some Emmy nominations when those come out in a couple of weeks.
Is it a comedy too? Do they bill it as a comedy?
There are funny things in it, but there's some tough sledding in there.
Oh, really?
It's not laugh riot. I mean, there are some funny things. And Downey is, sometimes he's really annoying, but he's supposed to be, you know, right, kind of the way he is with, as Tony Stark.
So yeah. That is on my list to watch. I've been watching a ton of TV, but what do you think about, were you a fan of the Game of Thrones, Chris?
You know, I watched the first season, and what I got out of it was winter was coming, and that was it. And I thought, I know winter's coming. I live in Wisconsin. So I didn't want to watch the second season. And then we had Dwayne Dudek was our longtime film and TV critic at the paper. And he loved the third season. So back when we used to get physical screeners, I have never had HBO. I just got Max like a year and a half ago. And so I watched the second season and I hated it so much, I stopped watching.
Really? Okay.
It was just too much for me. I'm obviously an outlier. But it was just too much for me. I mean, I live in a house where the Lord of the Rings is almost a church, and and there are parts of that go on too long in the movies and in the television shows and everything. This felt like it went on forever. Having said that, there are some people in there who are unbelievable. Peter Dinklage is great in every single thing I've ever seen him in.
Yeah,
even in Elf. And and Diana Rigg, you know, anything with Diana Rigg gets an extra half star.
Yes.
Me, you know, and it was nice to see Sean Bean not die in like a, you know, cowardly way, because he almost always whimpers when he dies.
How did he die? Yeah, he's an actor I just wish I could see more of.
It was kind of like, yeah, well, he dies in the first end of the
first season. Right. Okay.
Are you watching the prequel?
No, it's not my genre, but I was so late to the party. pardon me. I remember seeing all these posts on social media, and I'm like, well, I guess I should watch this. And I'm like, why would I watch this? I don't like that stuff. And then I eventually watched it, and I did get hooked. But it's not like – I was the same way with The Walking Dead with zombies. I'm not a zombie guy, but that hooked me too. So I'm not in a rush to watch anything new. But they do have a new – this 10,000 Ships is going to be a new – iteration of the original franchise. So I was just curious as to what you thought about that. Hey, Chris, can you stick around for a few extra minutes? We haven't even gotten to blockbusters yet. Do you mind? Okay, perfect. So Chris and I have seen a lot of the same movies that were summer blockbusters, and I want to ask him about why the box office might be slumping a bit, and we'll discuss what we've seen and hopefully give you some good suggestions too. It's great to have you with me on this Wednesday night in our beautiful state of Wisconsin. I'll read some more of your text too coming up soon. Mike Siegel at 8:35. More with Chris Foran, though, coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.